Dr. Everick Storms of Ontario spent a vast amount of time studying the promises of Scripture. He wrote in a magazine called Contact, and he said, "The Holy Scriptures contain a grand total of 8,810 promises. How do I know? I counted them. All my life I had seen various figures quoted as to the number of promises in the Bible. The one most generally given is 30,000. Since this is a round number with four zeros in it, I have always been a little suspicious about it. Furthermore, there are only 31,101 verses in the Bible. It would mean that there would be practically one promise in every verse. Do not guarantee my count to be perfect," he wrote, "but it is the most accurate I know of." He goes on to classify the promises found in scriptures into eight kinds. There are 7,487 promises from God to man, about 85% of all of the promises. 991 instances of one person making a promise to another person. 290 promises from man to God. There are promises made by the angels, most of them found in Luke. There are 9 promises made by, quote-unquote, that old liar, the devil. For example, his promise to give Jesus all the kingdoms of the world if he would fall down and worship him. 2 promises are made by an evil spirit, and 2 are made by God the Father to God the Son. Dr. Storms additionally found that one book of the Bible contained no promise at all, the book of Titus. And Ephesians had only 6 promises. And on the other hand, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel have over 1,000 promises each. The power of God's promises filled in Scripture. We cling to those, we hold on to those as precious during times of rejoicing, during times of prayer, during times of difficulty. And the promise that we celebrated last Sunday and Easter Sunday was the promise of the resurrection, the promise of Jesus Christ not only coming to earth, not only living, not only dying, but also being raised again from the dead. That was a promise that God had made and a promise that God fulfilled, the power of one of God's promises. In this passage of Scripture from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24, starting at verse 13, we find 2 of his disciples traveling down the road, talking with one another, struggling to understand how the promises that they thought they heard did not seem to be coming true. So we're going to take a look at the road to Emmaus, the travel that these two disciples of Jesus and followers of Jesus made, and take a look at the power of God's promises. Starting in Luke chapter 24 and verse 13, the scripture reads as follows. "And behold, 2 of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, 'What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?' And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' And they said to him, 'The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, in the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us. When they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see." In finding the power of the promises of God, we sometimes realize that we might forget some of the promises that God has made. The scripture says here that in verse 13 that the two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus. The resurrection had just taken place. They had seen the empty tomb. They had seen a report in verse 9, from those who had gone to the tomb, and they returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And in verse 10, now there were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, also the other women with them, telling these things to the apostles. So they had communicated to them the tomb was empty, that one of the promises that was being made was actually fulfilled. And yet the scripture says that the two of them, that on that very day, they were going about 7 miles to the village named Emmaus, and they were walking and they were talking about all of the things that had just taken place. And then Jesus himself came down into the midst of this conversation, and their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And they said to him, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking? Some versions describe that exchange as kind of a discussion, as kind of an argument, that they were upset and they were having this heated exchange. And then in the midst of that heated exchange, Jesus came into their midst, and he began to draw out those promises that had been made, that had been given to them, that they had seen and had heard about. And Jesus began to ask these questions, and he got them talking. And the more that they talked, the more that seems like they had lost sight of the promises of God. We find in verse 21 that it says, "But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel." That was a promise that God had made. And yet, even as Jesus was in their midst and Jesus was facilitating and drawing out this conversation about Jesus the Nazarene in verse 19, he was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of all the people, and that the priests and the rulers delivered him to death and they crucified him. But we were hoping he was going to redeem Israel. There was so much expectation that the Redeemer of Israel was going to be one that came in power and might, and not going to be one that came as a suffering servant. And so it confused them as they were walking and talking and trying to figure out what was going on that day. And then they recall, but also some of the women amazed us, and when they were at the tomb early in the morning and they didn't find his body. In verse 24, some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women had also said, but him they did not see. It's hard to tell whether or not that was part of their expectation or part of their disappointment, that they had gone to the tomb but they didn't see him, even though the promise had been made that the tomb was going to be empty. It is very easy, if we are not careful, to forget the promises that God has made. In the times of perhaps they were fearful, perhaps they were grieving, there was confusion going on, all of these events had just taken place, and as they were walking and talking, and the scripture says that they were sad. They actually stopped in the middle of this conversation, and they, in verse 17, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" Jesus said, and they stood still, looking sad. We see back 2,000 years, and we see the promise of the resurrection and the hope that is ours. They had just experienced it that day, and they were sad as they were processing all of this that was going on. And it's just a reminder to us that sometimes, even when Jesus is in our midst, even when Jesus is conversing with us and us with him, we have to be careful not to lose sight or forget the promises that God has made, those 8,000 plus promises that Dr. Storms had explored in Scripture, and the promises, he said there were 7,000 of them from God to man. All of those promises that we hold on to, it's important for us to never forget the promises of God and remember their power. Not only is it important for us not to forget the promises that God has provided, but also to be thankful when those promises are explained to us. In verse 25, the scripture reads as follows, "And he said to them, O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and with the prophets, He explained to them all the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Jesus himself, the great teacher, was there in their midst teaching them about himself and bringing to mind and explaining all of these things that had gone on. And as they approached the village where they were going, he acted as though he was going further. And they urged him to stay with us, for it's getting towards evening and the day is now nearly over. So he went in and he stayed with them. At that point, Jesus acknowledges the struggle that they're having in holding on to these promises or understanding these promises that had been made, and began to remind them of the promises of the sufferings of Christ, and says that he began with Moses and the prophets and explained all of the things concerning himself in all of the scriptures. And that sounds like a wonderful way for us to continually witness to the resurrection of Christ, is to take where people are and to point them back to the Savior, to follow that pattern and take people from where they are on the journey so that they can understand Christ. Warren Wiersbe, about this encounter that Jesus is having with the men on the road to Emmaus, said, "That was some Bible conference, and I wish I could have been there. Imagine the greatest teacher explaining the greatest themes from the greatest book and bringing the greatest blessings to men's lives. Eyes open to see him, hearts open to receive the word, and lips open to tell others what Jesus said to them." He surmises, perhaps Jesus started at Genesis 3:15, the first promise of the Redeemer, and traced that promise through the scriptures. He may have lingered at Genesis 22, which tells of Abraham placing his only beloved son on the altar. Surely he touched on Passover, the Levitical sacrifices, the tabernacle ceremonies, the Day of Atonement, the serpent in the wilderness, the suffering servant in Isaiah 53, and the prophetic messages of Psalm 22 and 69. And he goes on to emphasize the key to understanding the Bible is to see Jesus Christ in every page. Some call it the scarlet thread that goes throughout Scripture, is seeing the blood of Christ and how Christ was born and he lived and was crucified and was promised, and then that promise was fulfilled. And Jesus was there explaining those promises. These men had talked to Jesus and listened to Jesus, and when they had made as though he would go on alone, they asked Jesus to come home with them. They had been won by the word of God, and they did not even know who the stranger was. All they knew that was that their hearts were burning within them, and they wanted the blessing to last. What a wonderful desire that we would have, that our hearts would continue to burn within us as we hear the promises explained and hold on to them and tell others about the promises of Jesus. So not only do we need to be reminded not to forget the promises of God, also we can be thankful for when those promises are explained and God's word is made open to us through the power of the Holy Spirit teaching us, but we can also be thankful when those promises are realized. In verse 32 through 35, earlier in those couple verses before that, Jesus had broken bread with them, and in verse 31, the scripture says that their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Their eyes became open, they recognized Jesus, and they said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" And they got up that very hour and went back to Jerusalem, and found gathered the 11 and those who were with them, saying, "The Lord really has risen and has appeared to Simon." And they began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. The Lord really has risen. After they recognized him, they realized in all of the pieces, God helped to put those pieces together and help them to make sense. And they realized that why their hearts were burning is because they had Jesus Christ himself teaching about himself and helping them understand the fulfillment of those promises in Scripture. And then as they were breaking bread, they realized that Jesus and who he was. Their hearts were ablaze as Jesus was explaining it to them, and they realized and understood those promises so much that they it confirmed it. It sealed it for them that those were the promises. And then they were excited in that very hour. They went back from where they had just come to be able to tell others that they had just seen Jesus. They had been with Jesus, and to know that Jesus really had risen. It is a beautiful thing when we, through times of trial and through times of difficulty, realize that the promises of God are realized. That every promise of God is yes and is an amen and is there for us. And while sometimes we journey through that darkness and we are in the middle of that sadness and we are there in the midst of that confusion, we realize that those promises are there. And what a beautiful, beautiful thing that is. In closing, the words of William Barclay draws us to the story, and he highlights the precious quality of our learning and holding on to those promises. The story tells us of the ability for Jesus to make sense of things. The whole situation seemed to these two men to have no explanation. Their hopes and their dreams were shattered. There is all the poignant, wistful, bewildered regret in the world in their sorrowing words. We were hoping that he was the one who was going to rescue Israel. These were the words of men whose hopes were dead and buried. Then Jesus came and talked with them, and the meaning of life became clear and the darkness became light. A storyteller makes one of his characters say to the one whom he has fallen in love, "I never knew what life meant until I saw it in your eyes." It is only in Jesus that, even in the bewildering times, we learn what life means. And when we can hold on to the promises of God in these bewildering times, in these confusing times when things are in upheaval and things are sad and things are confusing and filled with anxiety and fear, if we can hold on to Jesus in the midst of those bewildering times and hold on to those thousands of promises of God, we can not only learn even more what life means to us to know Jesus, but we can have our hearts ablaze in such a way where others can know what life can mean when they have Jesus as well. When the promises are realized and they have become realized in Christ, and we await for that wonderful and exciting final promise of that second coming of Christ, of our home in eternity, and all of those things that are promised to us, when those in one day, when Jesus returns or we go home to glory, those promises will be realized. And what a day of rejoicing that will be when either one of those happens. The power of the promises of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have a firm foundation in which we can stand upon your promises. So many people try to tell us so much information and try to make us believe that they have all of the answers. And the more we listen, the more we realize that the world has nothing to give us in regard to answers, in regard to ways in which to make life work. But we do know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died for our sin and sacrificed his life that we might have life in eternal and life here filled with love and joy and peace and purpose, we know, Father, that you have fulfilled that promise so that we can have joy and we can share that joy and we can share the promise with others as well. Father, even in these days when we are distanced from one another, give us blazing hearts so that when opportunities do arise, we can firmly and with conviction share the promises that come from your book, the promises that have been made true in our lives, so that others may know that Jesus lives. Father, for that we are grateful and we give you thanks in the name of Christ. Amen.